Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. So glad to be with you once again. Remember, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you've got questions for me or want me to speak at your next event, you can email our producer, Natalie, at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com. Of course, you can give us a call at 480-648-5149. If that's what you want to do, do it right now before you forget, because we love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Sabrina Fernandez from Eco-Friendly Cleaning by Sabrina. Eco-Friendly has been serving the greater Reading, Pennsylvania area for the last 5 years with eco-friendly, biodegradable residential cleaning services. If you'd like to reach out to Sabrina and her team, you can get a hold of her at www.eco-friendlycleaning-bysabrina.com. Sabrina, glad you're here. Say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hi, Cleaning Nation.
So glad to have you. So before we jump into all the fun business stuff, tell us a little bit about you. What part? It sounds like you're in the Pennsylvania area. So you're in the United States. Are you married? Do you have kids? How'd you get in the cleaning business? Tell us a little bit about you and your life.
Well, I actually come from a social work background and managerial background, and I decided that I needed to do something for myself and break away from working the 9-to-5 for somebody else. So natural cleaning came to mind, and I knew I could make it work in our area so I could attract other families like myself. Being that I had my own daughter and friends of mine also have families, I figured I may as well make it family-friendly oriented, and that's what I did. I started small, and I just grew it from there.
Well, congratulations. Are you in the phase in your business where you're still doing all the cleaning? Do you have some help with that? Where are you at in that regard?
Well, staff fluctuates. I usually have between 4 and 8 girls alongside with me. Not that I'm opposed to hiring men. It's just kind of bridging into the commercial aspect. I definitely will be adding guys to the team. But I do actually go on jobs as well. I might not go out as often as everybody else, but I try to still have a hand in it so I can offer practical advice and also be there to answer any questions.
All right. Fantastic. Great. Well, in that case, let's jump into helping you with your business. What can I help you with today?
Well, like I mentioned, I'm really interested in bridging into more commercial properties. I really like the idea of doing multi-level office buildings. We have quite a few of them in our area, and I know that there's plenty of business to go around, so I sort of want to get my hands involved with that.
Okay, cool. So what have you started making that transition, or where are you at in that process?
Well, so far, I've done a little bit of Facebook advertising. I haven't really pushed that really hard. I just kind of wanted to get my feelers out there and see what kind of reception that I got back. And most people are like, oh, my company that I work for might be interested, but that's as far as that has gone. So now I'm actually formulating a cover letter to introduce myself to the area businesses and see if we can get a conversation started.
Okay, so is your goal for today's conversation for me to help you get leads, or specifically what piece of that transition would you like help with?
Well, making sure that I can attract them as opposed to me telling, you know, me pursuing them. So I'd like a little help with that possibly, and even possibly try to go about putting together a contract, because that's something that I normally do not do. I do have policies, but I don't have anybody sign any formal agreements.
Okay, well, we'll do both of those, and I'll do the second one first, and we'll do that part quick, and then we'll dive into the first. So in terms of contracts, you definitely need a contract or just an agreement. It doesn't have to be a 20-page legal document, but we've done an entire podcast where you can go deep on this, but just the 30-second overview is you always need to have an agreement, and that agreement needs to cover things like what you are going to do and what you're not going to do. That will keep service creep from happening where they go, oh, while you're here, would you mind? And that costs extra, but it's an awkward conversation for your cleaners to have. So service agreement will cover what is covered, what you are going to do, more importantly, or as importantly, what you're not going to do, how much it's going to cost, what the payment terms are going to be, what happens if for whatever reason they don't show up or cancel. That stuff needs to be written down. Certainly in residential, certainly in commercial, really doesn't make a difference. That needs to happen either way. So I'd encourage you to take that step, whether you make the transition to commercial or not. The second piece is, it sounds like, and again, if I misstate this, feel free to correct me. It sounds like you're saying you want to attract commercial customers as opposed to chase after them. Did I hear you right, or am I misspeaking?
Yeah. Yeah. Because a lot of the problem in our area, I find, is that companies just underbid each other so they can get the job, and then the work quality suffers. And I don't want to fall into that trap.
Okay. So when you say underbid, what do you mean by that?
Well, I don't know if that's a term that's more or less used in our area, but every year when the businesses look at their fiscal calendar and the budget, they have bids open for however many companies they feel like having given them a quote, and then their existing cleaning company may or may not be able to offer the best price. So then the next company that comes in might just be able to offer them just a little bit lower of a price. And then they keep sort of like rotating the door and doing that to each other every year.
Okay. So what I hear you saying is you want to go into commercial, but you don't want clients that are interested solely and exclusively on the lowest price.
Right. I want them to want what we have to offer, which is eco-friendly cleaning at a budget-friendly price. I mean, we're not going to be so outrageously expensive in comparison to what they're paying, but I want them to know they're going to be getting a much better quality job at the end of the day and not be upset, you know, when they come in the next morning and find half the things on their list are not completed.
Okay, so a couple things. The one thing I want to encourage not just you but Cleaning Nation on is a lot of times, and this is not just people moving from residential to commercial, but just cleaners in general get into the business and they think, I'm really good at cleaning. And then they think, I'm better at cleaning than my competitors. And then they think that's what other people want, is quote unquote, the best cleaning. And that's a tough one because there's some issues in there. It's, none of those statements are completely untrue or false. But I would also say none of those statements are completely 100% true. The people that succeed in the cleaning business are not necessarily the best cleaners. They're the best owners of companies, attraction of talent, attraction of customers, builders of systems. Those are the skills, so to speak, that are going to serve as an owner of a cleaning company. Whereas obviously being a cleaner, being the best cleaner is going to serve you well there. That's the first piece. The second piece is, and again, I'm a big fan of, I think we are on the same page. There's just a big red flag I want to make sure we don't go over, and then some of the listeners kind of get confused or think I'm saying something that I'm not. So a big red flag we have is kind of telling people the level of clean that they need. Well, we need to do this, and this needs to be dusted every day. And for, you know, where we kind of walk into, and I'm not saying you're doing this, this is really more for the audience than anything, is we walk into their space and we make a unilateral decision as to what quote unquote the right kind of clean is, and then demand that they pay that price. That's not a business strategy that I would recommend. What we really want to do is make sure that we're clear on the expectations. And because it's their building and they're the one paying the price, we clean to the level that they want. So if they say, hey, we don't need wall-to-wall vacuuming every day, why don't you do that once or twice a week and just vacuum the traffic lanes every day? If that's what they want, that's what we're going to do. The only thing that we don't want is them to pay for a Honda and get a Mercedes. But if they want a Honda, there's nothing wrong with a Honda. You got to let them buy a Honda. Does that make sense?
Right. It's a customized type of service.
Well, and just understanding that residential cleaning quality and standards is very different than commercial quality and standards. And if you try and take the same standard that some of your residential customers will hold you to into the commercial world, you'll have a hard time getting work. And when you do get work, you'll have a hard time making any money at it. So I just want to encourage you to understand what does a customer need and provide that service and kind of remove judgment in terms of, now if they're absolute pigsty and the place is disgusting and your people don't want to go in there and they need hazmat suits, I'm okay with you saying this isn't for me. But if they're saying, hey, we don't need full baseboard dusting every night, that's okay, right? We've got to make sure that we're serving them first and foremost. Second is, I did want to, and I'm a huge fan of making sure that you're making money, so please don't hear me saying give this away or be the low bidder or any of that nonsense. But just for you and for Cleaning Nation, typically margins are a little smaller in commercial buildings, which makes sense. Because if you figure on a residential side, if an average contract's $250, if you make 15%, that's like $30 a month in profit. Now, if an average commercial contract's $1,500 a month, well, that same $1,500 is $200-$300. So the number, the amount of profit can be the same or greater, but the profit percentage sometimes is littler. And if you don't kind of have that expectation going in, that can bite you in the butt a little bit and come as a little surprise. Are you with me so far?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I know I go fast and take tangents, but I want to make sure we cover this well enough to get you through that transition. So there's a couple ways I wanted to go over that will help you attract those clients. First and foremost, the biggest sin that most people do is they talk about themselves. So when you mentioned that you were going to make a letter or a flyer or some sort of introductory thing, that's a great idea. Just make sure that you talk about their favorite subject, which is them and their pain and their passion and their need and their fears and their desire and what keeps them up at night, and almost exclusively about that. Very little, if any, about Sabrina and what you guys do and how you're eco-friendly and you've got this and you're that and you're clean. They couldn't care less. So just make sure in your communication you're talking about things that are going to be compelling to them, not things that are going to turn them off, i.e. details about you and your cleaning and your family and your green and all that sort of stuff. Is that okay so far?
Sure.
Okay. Second thing is, you're going to want to start building relationships. It's going to be kind of hard to go over via podcast, but I'll try and explain it. I've got a picture of an iceberg, and you can see at the top of the iceberg, obviously just a little bit above the water, which you can see. That is the folks that have lots of bidders, right? Just like you talked about, there's 20 bidders and there's just that one little job. If you go to the bottom of the iceberg, that reverses. There are dozens, if not hundreds of jobs, and you can be the only bidder. And, you know, obviously I take time to go through this, and it comes up with, where do you want to bid? Do you want to bid at the top of the iceberg where it's you and a dozen other bidders looking for all bidding on the same job? Or do you want to bid at the bottom of the iceberg where there's lots and lots of jobs out there for you to bid, and it's just you and maybe one other person? Does the bottom of the iceberg sound like a better kind of fishing pool for you?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, cool. So the big difference, what the difference between the top and the bottom is, the top of the iceberg are people that are going out for bid now. That is what, I don't want to say rookie, but that's what's tempting for most owners of cleaning companies. Well, they got a bid out, I'm going to jump, and everyone else is going to jump, and they're calling around, and they're looking for bids, and it's you and 27 other people, and it's very hard to get that job with margin and, you know, kind of the way that you want. So what you're going to do is you're going to start having communications with people that are not out to bid today. That's a key, because you're going to be the only one having that conversation, and you're going to do things like educate them and bring value to them and build a relationship. So when it comes time to bid, instead of them moving to the top of the iceberg and starting to attract all those other people that are going to be a pain in the neck, they're just going to say, well, I've been dealing with Sabrina for months now, and she sent me that nice little packet on how to make my business more profitable, and she sent my kid a birthday card, and she's just always been around. I'm just going to have her bid, and if she can, you know, get it done for a reasonable price, we'll just go forward with that. So do you see the difference between kind of being out there with everybody else and building these relationships? And if you think about it, most businesses are going to switch their cleaning service every year, every 2 years at the most. So if you've got 100 customers, there's a good chance that at least a half a dozen of them are going to be looking for a cleaning company switch right now. So you just need to start building that list. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Cool. And there's a lot of ways that you can do that through, there's lunch and learns, there's website, there's paid traffic, there's a blog, I do a podcast, there's all sorts of ways you can kind of start that conversation before they're looking to bid. The easiest way they'll go over is your website. Do you have a website yet?
Yes, I do.
Okay, actually, I know you do because I introduced it. So the one thing that you're probably going to want to do is for maybe have a separate website for your commercial stuff. Because if I'm a business owner, a property manager, or a restaurant manager, and I go to eco-friendlycleaning-bysabrina.com, I'm not sure I'm in the right place. That sounds like eco-friendly by Sabrina. That's one person. I don't need a person. I need a crew. I'm probably in the wrong spot. And if I get to your site and it says, yeah, we do residential, we do commercial, whatever you need, just give us a call. We'll clean it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely in the wrong spot. Whereas if I got something that said commercial office cleaning, readingpennsylvania.com, oh, now I know I'm in the right spot. Even better, if you pick out a niche like I coach people to do, and it says restaurant cleaning specialist, reading.com. Oh my gosh, if I'm a restaurant owner, I know I'm in the right spot. So I would definitely encourage you to have perhaps a separate website for your commercial activities and a separate name that told people what they're doing. Like when people ask, oh, what's the name of your company? I say, it's Grow My Cleaning Company. And it's the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. There's zero confusion as if you're in the right or wrong spot. If you have a cleaning company, you're looking to grow it, pretty good bet you're in the right spot. If you don't have a cleaning company or you don't want to grow it, you're probably in the wrong spot, which is fantastic. So I'd start there, and then you're going to want to give some sort of a free information product or bit of value in exchange for their information. So when people come to your website, you might say 5 things you must know before hiring a commercial cleaner, or 27 things that will keep your people, will increase sick leave that we can solve, or something that isn't serving you or isn't about you, but just value to the customer. I'll go, I'd like to know how to increase my or decrease my sick days every month. Yeah, here's my name, here's my phone number, here's my address. Email me this this ebook or this checklist or whatever piece of value that you're giving. And again, if you get, 1,000 people to your website a month and 10% sign up for that, that's 100 a month. A year from now, you've got 1,000 people on your list that you're constantly communicating with. And when it comes time, just like we talked about, when it comes time for them to get a cleaning company, they already know you, they're comfortable with you, you've been bringing them value for months, and you can kind of stay out of that whole top of the iceberg situation where there's a bunch of bidders and just one customer. Is that that's a lot in a short amount of time. Any questions or thoughts or any other needs before we hit the lightning round?
Actually, I think I followed it pretty well, so I think I'm good.
Well, good. I got lost in there a couple times. So if you followed it, you've done good, young lady. All right, well, let's do this. Let's hit the lightning round, give you the opportunity to give some value back to Cleaning Nation. I'm going to give you 3 quick questions. You're going to give 3 amazing answers. Question number 1, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice I ever received was not to undersell yourself, meaning don't try to just put a price tag on something that maybe you think that's what you could afford, but really look at the value that you're worthwhile and put out there that price. So basically don't sell yourself short, I guess, is the best advice I've gotten.
Words of wisdom. Couldn't agree more, Sabrina. All right. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that maybe Cleaning Nation can learn from and save ourselves some headache and gray hair?
I would say probably saying yes too much. I'm sort of finding out who my target customer is. So I'm learning now that I can actually say no to certain jobs that I don't think will fit that model.
Excellent. You sound just like a smart, good-looking podcast host that I know. Well said, young lady. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice today, right away? Something big or small, easy, hard, doesn't matter, just immediately implementable that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right now to improve their lives or their business?
Well, this is something that really helped me a lot, and that was introducing the prepay option for my residential clients. And that's a quarterly bill that they can prepay for the next 3 months. And what's great about that is the customer does get 10% off. That's what I chose to offer as an incentive. And then what I get out of it is that they're paying for 3 months of service on the first week of the month of that quarter, and I have those funds in place to be able to utilized for the needs of the business, and everybody's been happy with this so far, and it's been about a year since I implemented it, and it's working really well.
Wow. not only all the benefits that you mentioned, I bet you there's some other unintended consequences, positive consequences that come along with that in terms of happier customers, customers that stay longer, you having more cash flow and the ability to take better care of them. I really like that idea. That's one I've not shared or had shared on this podcast before. And we've done, 120 or 30 episodes. So well done, Sabrina. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. Clean Nation appreciates you. Clean Nation, if you want to check out Sabrina's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's all growmycleaningcompany.com. You can leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.